Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for your patience. This is David Gomberg, your state representative. And I really appreciate so many of you taking time to meet with us tonight to discuss the coronavirus. I know many of you are unsure and concerned. We've never been through anything like this before, and we have questions. We have lots of questions. So my goal tonight is to get you the best information available. But let's be clear that everything could change by tomorrow. So I also want to give you places where you can get the most current, objective, and real information. You may want to keep a pencil and paper handy for that. We'll get started with that in just a minute, but there's something important I want to say at the very beginning. We're going to get through this. Some of us may get sick. Many of us may suffer financially. All of us are going to be affected. But we're going to get through it because we're all in this together. So take care of yourself. Take care of your family. And take time to care for your neighbors as well. Be kind, be smart, be patient. Listen to your better angels. I also want to say at the outset that we're all being asked to take certain personal precautions. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Otherwise, the virus can linger in the air. Social distancing is more than just staying home from work and school. It means limiting your contact with others, including friends and neighbors. This means no play dates, no dinner parties, and only essential trips to the grocery store and pharmacies. If you do go out, maintain a 6-foot distance from other people. If you feel sick, stay home. And if you develop serious symptoms, call your primary care provider or urgent care clinic. Call first. Do not go to the emergency room unless you need emergency care. Otherwise, you risk exposing the workers there. And finally, wash your hands. Wash your hands often. Okay, here's the agenda for tonight's event. We're focusing on getting as much information out to you as possible. My goal is to provide you with an update on the latest developments and give you the resources to track changes on your own. First, we're going to hear a health report from Dr. Leslie Ogden. Then we're going to get an economic overview from Dave Price. If you have any questions at any time, press *3 on your phone. One of my staff will talk to you. And as we proceed, they will be consolidating your questions and will answer as many as possible at the end of the call. Please be patient. There are a lot of you listening. It will be impossible to get everybody's specific questions answered. And if by the end of the call you still have questions, then please email them to rep.davidgomberg@oregonlegislature.gov. Again, that's rep.davidgomberg@oregonlegislature.gov. And we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Now, one last thing before we turn to our guests. There are critical websites where you can find the most up-to-date information. Now, instead of entering long addresses, just Google the following. For health updates, Google Oregon Health Authority. For business updates, Google Business Oregon. For school updates, Oregon Department of Education. For unemployment benefits, the Oregon Department of Employment. For general updates, Google Governor Kate Brown. And for school meals, Google your local school district website. Don't really rely on social media or even on well-intentioned friends for critical information. Go to the source yourself. And I know I went through those quickly, so at the end of this call, I'm going to repeat those web pages. Okay, let's get to it. Dr. Leslie Ogden is with us tonight. Dr. Ogden is CEO of two coastal hospitals and is an emergency room doctor by training. Thanks for being with us tonight, Dr. Ogden.
Glad to be here with you.
There you are. You had me worried for just a second. Okay, the big picture, as I understand it, is there's no vaccine for coronavirus, and there's no medicine to treat it. So to keep our hospitals from being overwhelmed, our best response is to slow the virus. Some are calling that flatten the curve. What's the problem that we're describing here?
So, David, exactly what you said. Coronavirus is a virus, and it's spread by personal contact. And without protective measures, the number of infected people can double every 6 days. Not everyone will get it. In fact, 80% of those who do will just have some minor symptoms. but some vulnerable people will get very ill, and we have limited beds and equipment to treat them. So slowing the spread of the coronavirus is the only way we can handle the pandemic.
Okay, so it's important to emphasize that most people won't get it. And most people who do get it will only have mild cases. But what kinds of people are vulnerable to more serious illness?
So people who are at the highest risk for serious illness related to COVID-19, that's what we're calling the illness itself. It stands for coronavirus 2019. So that's the illness caused by the coronavirus. Those are people who are over 60 years of age, who are smokers, those with chronic illnesses such as diabetes and lung disease, as well as others with serious chronic diseases that we could name all night.
Well, I mean, that sounds like our district. We've got 1 in 3 over the age of 65. Diabetes is prevalent. We've got the highest level of smoking in the state, I'm sad to say. But am I correct that there are no diagnosed cases here?
That's correct. None yet in our county. But at present, we have 88 confirmed cases in the state of Oregon, and unfortunately, 3 deaths in our state as well. There continues to be no confirmed cases in Lincoln or Tillamook counties, but there are 2 cases in Yamhill County and 1 in Polk County, but numbers increase daily.
Okay, everybody listening, write this down. For the most current information on the number of tests and positive cases, Google the Oregon Health Authority. You can also reach out to your local public health department, but the Oregon Health Authority has that information online, and it's updated regularly. Okay, again, doctor, lots of people are asking about testing. They worry that we're short of test kits. What have you heard?
Well, we have kits, but they are limited, and we need more. Oregon's testing capacity is now approaching about 1,000 a day and will likely increase as the private labs ramp up to supplement the state lab. Meanwhile, we're focusing testing on the most vulnerable patients. Those are the patients that are admitted to the hospital, and then on the outpatient side, for example, patients who are healthcare workers. Patients who are in public safety occupations, like law enforcement, firefighters, our EMS workers, patients involved in an illness cluster in a facility or institution, like a nursing home or a corrections facility, homeless shelters, dormitories, any other institutions where folks congregate and are together. And then, of course, patients older than 60 years of age. But the point really needs to be made that you can infect people before you have symptoms and before you feel sick. This means you can infect others.
Well, the news earlier today was that our statewide testing capacity and turnaround time for responding to those tests is ramping up. And according to OPB, hospitals have the supplies they need. So that's good news. I've got something else I want to ask people to write down. If you've got questions, dial 211. Not right now, but I mean any time in the future, dial 211. This is the statewide social and community services information and referral phone line. They're partnered with the Oregon Health Association to provide an information hotline on coronavirus, and the phone line is available 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. if you want to speak to a live community information specialist. So let's talk a little bit about social distancing. Excuse me. We've heard quite a bit lately about social distancing. To minimize the spread, the state has taken a number of extraordinary steps. A statewide cancellation of events and gatherings. In fact, the governor recommends gatherings of no more than 10 people. Schools are closed. Meals are being delivered to all of our kids by each of our districts. For example, in Lincoln County, school buses are delivering food, but kids in all of our districts are getting fed. Restaurants and bars are now restricted to delivery and carry-out or curbside pickup. The governor has prohibited visits to nursing homes and to other group care facilities unless you're seeing a loved one who are near the end of life. And the governor has declared a market disruption to prevent price gouging during the public health crisis. If you experience price gouging or other predatory behaviors, please call the Consumer Complaint Hotline at 877-877-9392. I'm going to repeat that, 877-877-9392. Well, Dr. Ogden, I've talked about a lot of different social distancing measures. Are these going to help, or is there more we need to do?
Well, I think it's basically the biggest defense we have. People need to take this very seriously. They need to stay home. They need to minimize unnecessary contact until things start to improve. It is getting worse now. But with these measures, we have an opportunity to change the infection rate of the virus.
Well, let's go back to the hospital capacity question. I saw that former Governor Kitzhaber recently said that Oregon has 6,729 staffed hospital beds and 776 ICU beds, which sounds like a lot. But if we assume that only 1% of Oregonians get this virus, we're looking at 40,000 cases, 6,000 admissions, and the need for 2,000 ICU beds. Remember I said we've got about 776. So it's far beyond our current capacity. We have 688 ventilators statewide. In short, currently, we just don't have the capacity to deal with this, he says. So to increase capacity, the governor set up an emergency hospital at the state fairgrounds, and other parts of the state are taking similar steps to increase capacity. So I want to ask, Doctor, what's the situation here?
Well, David, we are very lucky that we have two new hospitals in Lincoln County, and this has enabled us to develop emergency surge plans in which we can care for hundreds more patients than our day-to-day bed counts reflect, our day-to-day numbers. We've identified areas of the hospital that can be used to care for admitted patients, such as clinic exam rooms, sleep lab rooms, emergency department treatment areas, and surgery department prep and recovery rooms. In addition, all of the inpatient rooms are spacious enough to add a second bed. However, we have to be mindful that at that point, if we have that many patients there, our challenge would be having enough staff to care for that many patients. In addition, we've canceled elective surgeries and non-emergent clinic visits to help ensure facilities and staff are available for a surge in COVID-19 patients, and we're actively engaged in cross-training many of our staff as our workforce gets sick, which we think will inevitably happen. We'll have alternatives trained at that time.
All right. Well, that's encouraging news. Yesterday, the governor ordered hospitals, outpatient clinics, and healthcare providers, including veterinarians and dentists, to cease all non-emergency procedures in order to preserve personal protective equipment, such as surgical masks, gowns, and gloves. So what's that all about?
So these days, every time a healthcare worker interacts with a patient with respiratory symptoms, they must wear disposable, one-time use masks, gowns, gloves, and eye protection, just in case the patient they are treating might have COVID-19. So as you can imagine, with a surge in patients, we are running low, or in some areas of the country, as you see on the news, completely out of this type of personal protective equipment. Our governor has said it is critical that we preserve every piece of personal protective equipment we have in Oregon so that our healthcare workers can keep themselves safe while treating COVID-19 patients. If we do not take immediate action, the surge in demand in our hospitals for masks, gowns, and gloves will quickly outstrip the limited supplies they have available. We cannot let that happen. So as you said, today, she asked all dentists and veterinarians to cease all non-emergency procedures in order to preserve PPE. So at Samaritan Hospitals, we've canceled those elective surgeries and non-emergent clinic visits. We've limited respiratory patient access to as few healthcare providers as possible, and we want to be safe. We're looking at all of our PPE use to make sure it's necessary to help ensure that plenty of personal protective equipment like masks will continue to be available. We're talking to those dentists and those veterinarians as well. And we are going to start looking at construction grade masks for healthcare use. We're also investigating making our own. We've referenced Seattle and some of the things that they're doing, and they have volunteers sewing masks there. So we're looking at all of these options.
Wow. Well, Dr. Ogden, we've covered a number of questions, and I see some coming in from our listeners, and I wanted to share one or two of them with you now before we move on. One question coming to us from here at the coast is asking, is testing available in Lincoln City?
Yes. So the scenarios in which testing is available in Lincoln City is if you're sick enough to be hospitalized and you have fever and respiratory symptoms, that that alone gets you a lot of tests, including a COVID-19 test these days. And then if you meet the criteria that we talked about earlier and you talk with your doctor and get an order for a test, then that's the way that you can also get an outpatient test. So remember, not everyone needs to be tested. We are testing those people who are most at risk and who fall into those categories of worry. And so we're trying to preserve our tests for those folks. So yeah, absolutely. There are ways to get tested if you need to be tested.
Well, here's a related question that just came in. If a loved one needs a test, can we be assured that they get the same priority as a person of status in the community?
Oh my goodness, yes. we aren't reserving testing for anyone in particular. You don't. It's not a special pay-as-you-go or anything like that. We at Samaritan are a nonprofit company. We're a nonprofit hospital, and we take care of everyone. We take care of over 75% of our patients, our Medicaid and Medicare patients. This is who we take care of, and there is no priority by any means for being special or anything like that. It is by symptoms, and it's by who needs the test.
Okay, one last quick question for you. How much time does it take to turn around the test?
Oh, that's a good one. So it really depends on the labs, and as we've said before, the labs are getting better, but currently we tell people it's about 24 to 72 hours. Again, it depends on the lab. It depends on their backlog. So nothing is instant, but it's getting better and better.
All right. Dr. Ogden, I want to thank you so much. Excuse me. I've got a little cough myself. And I'm going to ask you to stick around because we're going to have some more questions at the end of the call. But I do want to move along at this point and cover our second major topic. And if you're just joining us, this is State Representative David Gomberg, and you're listening to a live coronavirus discussion. If you have questions that you want to ask, press *3 on your phone, and one of our staff people will take your question, and we'll get you into the queue. Well, let's continue. In addition to public health questions, we're also dealing with serious questions about our local economy. And to help us understand that, I've asked Dave Price from the Small Business Development Center to join us. So, David, I think you've been standing by. Welcome to the conversation.
It's been fascinating so far, Representative Gomberg, and thank you, Dr. Ogden, for that. I learned a lot myself, and I appreciate that.
Well, let's continue to be fascinating. David, people are being asked to stay home. Most of our communities are dependent on tourism for jobs and for income, but we're closing restaurants, our hotels are empty, the casinos are shuttered, and our gift stores are suffering. You've got your finger on the regional small business pulse. What can you tell us about jobs, employment, and unemployment?
Well, you know, David, a month ago, we had virtually no unemployment on the coast, even in February, as odd as that sounds. And there were help wanted signs everywhere. But in the past month, you know, many, many workers have filed for unemployment benefits. And, of course, that has spiked. This has been an interesting week, to say the least, very challenging. Just yesterday, actually, I was having a meeting with some folks. One of them was from the Oregon Employment Department here and with his office in Newport, and he mentioned that north of 30 businesses had filed and indicated that they had laid off more than a few employees just in that day and or in Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, we're jumping from next to zero unemployment to close to 20% in a short period of time.
And 20% is, well, close to double what it was during the Great Depression. I mean, these statewide numbers are daunting, David. Claims have increased. I just read claims have increased from an average of 400 a day last week to 18,000 on Tuesday, 18,000 on one day. Well, to get unemployment, you've got to meet certain qualifications, but those rules are being loosened and streamlined.
That's true. The state is working on a number of changes, waiving the job search requirement, waiving the one-week waiting period, allowing you to qualify even if you're sick or caring for a sick family member.
Well, those are important changes, and actually there's some things coming up in, at the legislative level that I'll talk about in a minute, but unemployment benefits. I mean, still, if you're getting unemployment benefits, that's much less than you would normally earn on the job.
That's absolutely true. Even on benefits, you're going to be living on less, and many people will still not get benefits.
Well, yeah. For example, I'm sure we've got some local small business owners listening. They don't qualify for unemployment when they're forced to close. And that's ironic, considering that they're required to pay into the system. And I'm also thinking that here at the coast, many people work several part-time jobs. So if they lose one job, they can't pay the bills, but because they're still working, they can't get unemployment. But let's tell people now, if you've lost your job, corona-related unemployment resources are available at the State Employment Department. So Google Oregon Employment and Corona, and all the special rules will come up. Applicants are encouraged to apply online because there's very long wait times for phone assistance. Remember I told you 18,000 people in one day? Apply now because the rules are changing every day. So even if you're not eligible under current rules maybe today, you might be eligible next week. David, there's also programs for people who still have jobs but reduce job hours or job income.
Yes, including a program called WorkShare, which I hope people will look into, which will subsidize employers who keep workers on the payroll.
Well, it's got a long address, so I'm just going to tell you to Google Oregon WorkShare for details. Basically, it's for employers that have reduced the work hours of their employees but not laid them off. And if there's qualifying employees, it's the employer who has to make the application to get additional benefits for them. But, David, you know, we've got all this going on, so how do we help local small businesses during this extraordinary challenge?
It is difficult. It's profoundly difficult for these people who've been looking forward to spring break at the end of a long, bleak winter season, and it's simply not going to deliver without our help as locals. And we can buy gift cards to use later, basically investing in the future and helping them out now when they need it most and they can't fill those restaurants or those shops. We can do takeout. Sounds like a small thing, and not everyone can afford to do takeout every night, especially in these circumstances. I get that. But if you can, I encourage you to do that as much as your budget will allow. I mean, if you're like me, you're going to suffer a little bit of weight gain, but I think let's take one health crisis at a time here and feel comfortable taking takeout a little more often and helping the restaurants who really have no other choice right now.
Well, you mentioned that it's spring break. I don't know. With our kids all out of school, regardless of the break, it really doesn't matter whether it's spring break or not. But it's springtime and it's sunny on the coast. I'm seeing a lot of visitors in our grocery stores. I'm seeing people in line for takeout, and I'm seeing people on our charter boats. I mean, that seems like a mixed blessing. Our economy has already been impacted, but people are here and they've got less to do, and they're bringing exposure with them. Should we be encouraging visitors right now?
That's a challenging situation. I think that many business owners here are telling us, in fact, they're not trying to attract businesses. You've seen people retracting advertising they've been doing. You've seen institutions, we call them destination marketing organizations, that represent the communities on the coast and they're shifting. I know I heard the Explore Lincoln City folks have actually done something very creative and I think very helpful. They've stopped advertising because they don't want to encourage that outside of the market, and instead they're investing those resources in buying gift cards from local merchants to put together holiday packages, which they can make available to visitors through contests and what have you later, after we've passed this. And I think that's a really bold and admirable move.
Well, I understand when you say it's kind of a mixed bag, because on one hand, we need that cushion for our economy, but with so many businesses closed, there's less for people to do when they come to visit, and I said they're bringing that exposure with them. I'm sure Dr. Ogden would say, stay home and stay safe. I talked to the governor's office earlier today and actually said it may soon be time for her to emulate Tom McCall and say, please come and visit Oregon, but for gosh sakes, don't do it right now. Stay home, stay safe, and then come back and celebrate with us when this is all over with.
Well, yeah, and really, that's echoing the sentiment that you are hearing those discouraging, the statements discouraging travel, both from the federal level, President Trump, and from Governor Brown as well, and others. And you're right, we've stopped short so far of a shelter-in-place kind of policy that would really stop the movement. But it is definitely something of concern. That's true.
Well, David, your office is putting together a lot of good local information. Where can people find that?
They can find it at OregonCoastBusiness.com. And really, in your conversation about health and in our conversation about things like Workshare and where people can turn to find quick, easy links to find out more about their unemployment insurance options, et cetera, you'll find virtually every link that we've talked about right there at OregonCoastBusiness.com. At the top of the page, you can click coronavirus information, and we've got a resource page we're growing every day. And we've got some classes. I just want to quickly plug one, David, and that is that we're doing this term, we're doing free, and we're doing it online, so people can join our workshops and classes from home. And one of them is for restaurants in particular to put their menu live on Facebook, to put their menu on Facebook. And if you don't know how to do that and allow people to order from your Facebook page, we're going to teach you that in a free one-hour session on Tuesday morning. You'll find all the details of that and everything else at OregonCoastBusiness.com.
And I'm going to read those links off again in a little while, but tell us the link where you can find all of them on your webpage.
If you just visit OregonCoastBusiness.com and click the coronavirus resources button at the top of the page, it'll take you right there.
Well, like I said at the beginning, we need to make sure that people are getting good, constructive, and current information. So there's one good source. Look, all of this is all very new. But already this week, the governor appointed a new economic recovery council so they could examine ways to mitigate the economic impacts of social distancing measures and anything else that is adversely affecting Oregon's economy. A joint legislative committee on coronavirus was appointed this last week to consider statutory policy and budget changes. And earlier this week, I met with the Coastal Caucus. That's legislators, Republicans and Democrats working together that represent the Oregon coast, again, to consider policy changes and budget investments. I'm hearing that we're going to be called into a special legislative session before the month is over, so possibly or probably in the next 10 days. Some of the proposals include loans or grants to restart businesses, cash payments to the unemployed, limiting evictions, opening more child care, which is very important when all the kids are out of school, prohibiting residential or commercial evictions, and delaying tax payments. So there's a lot going on, but David, I'm worried not only about what's going on right now, I'm worried about our recovery. When this is all over with, I'm worried that we will have lost good local businesses and good local jobs. What's your crystal ball say about that?
Well, it's our paramount concern. I mean, we stand ready to meet with the business owners after all this is over. It seems weird to even say that. But we know we're going to see entrepreneurs that are starting over or picking up the pieces. We know that also we're going to see new entrepreneurs entering a changed environment, and all of these folks are going to have questions. Many of them are going to need talented employees. Some of them are going to need capital. And that's really where the small business development centers here and throughout the state stand ready with our core service that we offer to anyone, and that is free, confidential, one-on-one business advising. And I can tell you right now, we're doing an awful lot of that this week. The phone has been ringing, and we are going to continue to do so so long as it takes. And we're doing it all virtually so people don't have to feel like they have to go into a strange building at this time and meet with, I almost said strange people, but people like me and my advisors. We stand ready to meet with them. And throughout the you know, our center, we're entrepreneurs. We've owned businesses here in Lincoln County during the recession, never during a pandemic until now. We're all charting some new ground here.
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, and as I said earlier, the best way to get through it is that we help each other. There's some good news out there. I'm reading that utilities are not going to disconnect services, so we don't need to worry about water or gas, power, or even the internet. And if you become concerned about food, OregonFoodBank.org, that's OregonFoodBank.org, has a feature where you can enter your address and find the closest food sharing locations to where you are. I think that's a remarkable feature that's being presented by OregonFoodBank.org. Well, yeah, I've run through my agenda, and I want to make sure we hear from some of the people that are out there. I've got a question for both Dr. Ogden and for Dave Price, and it's this: the question is from somebody who says that they have a small business and they work in an office with their wife. Should they be closing down? It says we see two or three clients a day. Should we be closed?
Well, the question there, seeing two or three clients a day, not knowing what sort of business it is, my first question would be, is there a way to see those clients that doesn't involve being closer than 6 feet away? And it may be that using free and low-cost video conferencing equipment or online utilities, even with smartphones, you might be able to meet the needs of your clientele and keep doing business and keep receiving payments without having any personal one-on-one interaction. And Dr. Ogden, I would leave it to you if it's something more challenging, like we've heard from massage therapists who are suddenly just yet another industry that's been thrown a serious curve by this situation.
Yeah, I could not agree, though. It depends on the exact industry, the exact nature of the business. But if they can maintain social distancing, and technology is a great way to do that, maybe we just have to be more imaginative, you know, about how to continue to stay in business and stay open. But definitely try to come up with ways that don't put yourself and your wife at risk.
Well, along those lines, here's a question that just came in from Lincoln County. I'm 61 years old, and I have stage 3 cancer. Goodness, my heart goes out to you for that. But this caller says that her daughter works as a housekeeper at a hotel. She's concerned that her daughter may bring it home because the hotel's not closing. Dr. Ogden, what do you do when you have family members that are going to work and you have vulnerable family members still at home?
Oh, I agree. This is a little bit heartbreaking. We have quite a few folks that I've heard in this type of situation, people who are telling us their stories now that we haven't really heard before because we had no reason to know that they had immunocompromised, folks at home, family members. But even some of our own employees are telling us, you know, very similar stories. And I wish I could say something very reassuring like, oh my goodness, it would never happen. But the reality is that it very much could. There are some things, though, that that can be done to minimize that. I think, the social distancing that we talked about before, the wearing of personal protective equipment for someone who cleans rooms and things like that is entirely appropriate. We certainly have our environmental services folks, cleaning our hospital rooms very safely. And they are able to do that by protecting themselves. So there's definitely ways to decrease the risk, but it's just going to take a little bit of education, I think, on the part of that family member that works in the hotels, and just being super careful.
And wash your hands.
And wash your hands like crazy.
Well, here's an interesting question. This person says that they need to go to the DMV and renew their driver's license in 3 weeks, and they're concerned about going to the DMV office because they might be in a vulnerable age category. My answer to that is keep watching the news. I am hearing that that DMV may, in fact, waive those renewal deadlines and give us a little more time so that you can keep driving but not have to come into a DMV office right away. And related to that is the fact that that we're looking at the possibility of the real ID requirements, where virtually everybody in Oregon is going to need to go into a DMV office to get an upgraded driver's license based on new federal ID requirements. But the federal government is talking about withdrawing that requirement as well and giving us a little bit more time. David, here's a question for you. This writer asks, what kind of help is there for the self-employed residents who are losing their businesses?
Well, that is a loaded question. There, we're hearing from folks who are self-employed daily, as I mentioned, and I would say that it's a broad spectrum of help, and it much depends on your personal situation and what your business is. The way to start that is to come in for a free, confidential, one-on-one business advising session. And I don't know where this question is coming from in the district that you serve, but I can tell you that here in Lincoln County, they would register for that free counseling, as I said, at OregonCoastBusiness.com. Click the advising button and you're done. We get an email and we call you and schedule an appointment. And we can refer you to our sister SBDC centers in whatever county you may be calling from.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because you've got similar operations in Tillamook County, in Yamhill County, and in Polk County.
Absolutely.
So Tillamook County through Tillamook Bay Community College, and in Yamhill and Polk through Shemeketa. So
indeed, and tremendous staffs in all of those places. And then we would be able to meet with that business owner and talk about their situation. And go from there. But I would hate to get very specific without knowing, anything else about the situation, because there is no one-size-fits-all solution. I've learned that much when it comes to the wide variety and the impressive variety of businesses that we have here in Western Oregon.
Well, here's a medical question. Doctor, what about antiviral drugs? Are they an effective treatment?
Yeah, there is one particular antiviral drug that I've read about in association with this particular virus, but it's not been used widespread. There's been no studies to see if it really has any actual effect. What we're really finding is that this is one of those diseases that just doesn't come ready with drugs, ready to treat. So there's still some experimentation to be done. Unfortunately, we don't like to experiment on humans, but that's where we are. And I think some of that experimentation, unfortunately, will be done on the most complex cases. But hopefully, as this continues to go, maybe we can cross our fingers and hope that some of our antiviral drugs will have some effect. But again, at this point, we can't point to one specific one and say this really makes any difference at all. So unfortunately not.
So here's another medical question. I'm 50 years old and have diabetes, and I've had a heart attack, and I have heart disease. Does that put me at risk? I think I know the answer to this.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, diabetes puts you at risk simply because that that is a state of your immune system. When you have diabetes, your immune system isn't as good as another average Joe who wouldn't have diabetes. It certainly puts you at risk for higher rates of infection, and that does include viral infections. And then likewise, having a heart that has some damage to it likewise puts you at risk. So yes, unfortunately, both of those put you into a higher risk category.
So you need to take extra precautions. David, have you heard anything about home deliveries of groceries? This writer's saying that that some of them are backed up. Do you have any new information on that?
Well, certainly in the metro areas, we've been hearing a lot about what used to take 2 hours, and I'm talking here about articles I've read specifically about Portland and Seattle, literally takes days because of the backlog and people not understandably, not wanting to leave the house to shop. I can tell you that here in Lincoln County, we didn't have an existing population of services like everything from TaskRabbit to Grubhub and other delivery services. And so that's something that, yes, is in the news, but it didn't exist here to begin with, so it hasn't really been a new problem, at least here in Lincoln County. I can't speak for the rest of your service area.
Well, if you can't get delivery or if they're backed up, I keep saying we're all in this together. So don't leave the house if you're at risk, but call a friendly neighbor and see if they'll do some shopping for you.
And, I would even volunteer that for folks in that situation, and let's say you're a new resident, and you may not have a network of friends or neighbors that you trust and who you'd like to ask to bring you something that you're in critical need of. There are other options now. We have some vibrant Facebook community pages that you can find, whether, here in Lincoln County, there's thriving ones in Waldport and Lincoln City and Newport and elsewhere, and that might be a place to reach out. And almost invariably, when I see a post of someone looking for assistance like that, you see more than a few people jumping to their aid, even complete strangers. And it's not necessarily what you'd expect to find in the sort of toxic environment that can be the internet. And it's wonderful to see. And so I would encourage people to try that avenue before giving up and putting yourself in a situation where you don't want to be there.
Got a long list of questions here, but if you want to add one to the list, dial *3 and somebody will help you. And we're going to have an opportunity for you to record questions at the end so that we can get back to you later on. Doctor, here's a question. Are the tribes being given tests for their clinics?
That's an interesting question. The information that I have, and I haven't talked to a tribal representative directly, but the information that I've been given is that they are getting their supplies from a different supplying source that is specific for the tribal communities. But my understanding is that they are being sourced. So, definitely, if I have bad information, I'm sure someone will tell me this. But I think that they are able to get things through just a different route than the normal one that we go through, which is through our Oregon Health Authority.
Okay. And one of our listeners named Lori has a horrible question. She wants to know if you can get the virus more than once.
Ooh, that's a really good one. We have looked at Chinese studies, and there are some reports of folks in China who have seemed to recover, and they have done a lot of testing on their inpatients, those people that are staying in the hospital, and they've had some tests that have cleared. And so the test went from positive to negative, and the patient was discharged, and then they've had the patient come back, and then on retesting, that's been positive again. And so they've asked the same question. Is this a reinfection because other strains of coronavirus have been able to be re-caught, so to speak, but months later, not days. So we're trying to figure this thing out, but what I am hearing from the scientists that are looking at this now is that they believe that the testing method may be at fault here, not that people are truly re-catching the coronavirus again. Again, this is, you know, we have to watch it and we have to have it play out, but we're not seeing anything so widespread that we would actually point a finger and say, that's something that we keep seeing over and over again. In fact, this is extraordinarily rare, and they do believe it's faulty testing, either how a nasal swab maybe was taken or a throat swab was taken, and that may be either a false positive or a false negative that they're seeing.
Okay, one more quick question for you. Do you know how many ventilators we've got here in our district?
I don't know in the district, but I do know in our county because I'm over our two hospitals. And so what we have at each of our hospitals, we have, just to let people know, we have 4 designated ICU rooms in Lincoln City. We have 5 designated in Newport, and we can raise that to 6 if we need because we have a flexible room that can go back and forth. And at both hospitals, we have 11 units that are either ventilators or can act as ventilators, so more than enough for our current everyday. That being said, you know, maybe that's not enough in a surge situation, and we definitely are exploring options for how to get more. Across the United States, manufacturers are ramping up their manufacture of ventilators, and this is all hospitals, of course, are looking for more. In addition, the military has some, and they certainly can provide those if the opportunity is right and they are able to assist. The other thing that I would say is not everybody who has a complication from coronavirus needs a ventilator. And so let me throw this at you. Everyone's on a spectrum, right? And so some people who are hospitalized may just need oxygen via nasal cannula. They might need oxygen via face mask. They might not need true intubation, and that's when we put a breathing tube into your trachea down into your lungs and breathe for you. That's only in the most desperate of situations. So there are lots of options to provide assistance for breathing that don't get all the way to the end where you might need a ventilator. So while we're still looking for options to expand our inventory, we're hopeful that we have a lot of different options for people and not everyone will need the same thing.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time. I've got one more question here I think is interesting. Somebody is asking whether our primary election is going to be pushed back. That's a question that may interest some of us more than others, but I would say that Oregon's in a special situation with our elections because we vote by mail. We don't ask people to go down to the polling place. We don't ask them to stand in line. We don't have those kinds of crowds gathering as we've seen in so many other states where some have actually made the decision to postpone their elections. So I have not heard of any proposals to delay our primary election, and I would still expect that you'll be getting your voter's pamphlet and your ballots in the mail in late April. So we're winding down on time. David, I'm going to ask you one last question, and it's been one that I see popping up on the list in so many different ways. How do we discourage people from coming here? And in particular, how do we get the word out to young people about the importance of social distancing?
Dr. Ogden? to be perfectly blunt, I tend to think that that the folks in Lincoln County and certainly the business owners that we deal with on a day-to-day basis have enough on their plates, and I don't think it falls upon them to find ways to discourage people from visiting here. Not to point the finger, but it's kind of on y'all at the Capitol. I think that that you've already mentioned some really interesting strategies that that you've been thinking about to do so. I think that that our situation here is to manage the folks who are here to the best of our ability, and to do it in a way that protects the employees of our businesses here, and to the extent we can support the businesses themselves, without putting ourselves or the workers who are on the front lines in harm's way. And that, I think, to me, is the most important piece. Is you know, the people who are here for whatever reason, who may be here with license plates of a different color, are here, and you know, we have to deal with that just like they do. I wouldn't know how to begin to discourage those folks. Again, as we mentioned at the top of the call, I thought it was helpful with Lincoln City as one entity that advertised quite heavily as a matter of course in the Valley and elsewhere, has completely stopped doing so, and instead is investing those funds in buying local gift cards and gift certificates for from our businesses now when they need the business to give away later when we want to attract people back. And I think that's probably the best strategy I've seen thus far, and I would encourage more of that.
Doctor, any closing comments before we wrap up?
Well, I can say that the hospital industry feels that this is very serious, and we want to see as much movement as possible in that category of social distancing, and even to the point of sheltering in place. Because we feel that if we do not take this opportunity right now to diminish the number of infections and the rate of infections, that we will be sealing our own fate. So I just encourage everyone to take this very seriously. Don't panic by any means, but do what you're being asked to do by our government, and understand that this is a strategy for the public good. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on and speak to everyone, David.
And Dave Price, any brief closing remarks?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm just a one-trick pony selling our services, but it is free, so I think I can mention it. I would encourage anybody out there who owns a business, who is concerned about next steps and what lies around the corner, to avail themselves of the free advising. Again, we're going to offer it exclusively online. We can help you through the technology. And any other business out there that needs to deal with their customers via technology that might be new to them, we can talk to them about that too. It's all part of our advising service. And so please do visit us at OregonCoastBusiness.com. And let us at least talk with you and see if we can't find some solutions working together.
And those of you listening tonight, don't hang up yet. We're getting near the end, but a few things to share with you. I certainly want to thank Dave Price and Leslie Ogden for their expertise and their insights tonight. And I want to close by thanking all the healthcare workers, the grocery store employees, the pharmacists, the utilities, the daycare providers, the first responders, and everyone else out there that are needed on the job to keep us safe and secure and as healthy as possible. For some, this is simply going to be an inconvenience, but for many whose families face illness or the loss of income or closure of their business, the future is very uncertain right now. We need to look for ways that we can support each other, and here's a couple of ideas. The Red Cross needs blood, so make a donation to the Red Cross. Phone your neighbors who may be elderly or without family close by. You've heard this several times tonight. Buy a gift card from a local business. And if you've got some spare time sitting at home, take a moment and fill out your online census form at 2020census.gov. That's going to be important information, and it'll save somebody the trouble of coming to your door. A crisis can bring out the best in people. So whether you're anxious about your health or seeking access to food or childcare or rental assistance or other critical resources, we need to help each other out when these everyday routines are disrupted or when our neighbors are hurting. We're stronger as a community if we can do that. As I said at the very beginning an hour ago, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take time to care for your neighbors as well. Be kind, be smart, be patient. Listen to your better angels. If you still have unanswered questions, well, I encourage you to check the critical websites that I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to run through those again. For health updates, the Oregon Health Authority. For business updates, Business Oregon. For school updates, the Oregon Department of Education. For unemployment benefits, the Oregon Department of Employment. General updates, go to Governor Kate Brown. And for school meals, your local school district's website is the best place to go. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together. I look forward to hearing from you and working with you during this unprecedented time. There'll be an opportunity at the end of this call for you to record a question, and if you leave your email address, our staff will get back to you. There's a lot of you online, so it may take a while, but let us know your concerns or your question. We will reply if you leave us an email address. And if your specific question doesn't get answered tonight and you don't want to leave a message, email me anytime at rep.davidgomberg@oregonlegislature.gov, and I and my staff will get back to you as quickly as possible. I'm State Representative David Gomberg with Dr. Leslie Ogden and Dave Price wishing you a good evening. Stay well, stay healthy, and wash your hands. Thank you, everyone, and good night.